This is Ozarks at Large for Wednesday, November 10th, 2010. I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And I'm Kyle Kellums. The headquarters of the Cherokee Nation, the second largest American Indian tribe in the United States, is in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. But the chief of the Cherokees is trying to create an education bridge between his nation and the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich has this report.
Cherokee Principal Chief Chad Smith spent the day Monday on the U of A campus meeting faculty and students in a special forum held in honor of Native American Heritage Month. But he also met with the chancellor and staff to discuss sustainable agriculture curriculum, sustainable community development, Native American studies, diversity initiatives, and Native American arts and language and culture. The chief's exploring a potential collaboration here.
Well, it became very interesting and apparent that the University of Arkansas has a great focus in a number of disciplines dealing with rural development. And that's something that's really important for us because the building blocks of our nation is the community. So really, if you define our nation, we're a family of families and a community of communities. So the rural development, the rural architecture, the other kinds of infrastructure, the electrical grid stuff, horticulture and agriculture, they all work together to help us preserve our core communities.
Chad Smith's visit's part of a larger educational initiative. This week, he's dedicating a new college resource center located in the tribal complex in Tahlequah. The center's replacing the Cherokee Nation Higher Education Office. Staff will provide Cherokee citizens with scholarship advisement, assistance with the free application for federal student aid, college prep activities, college retention strategies, public school outreach, and access to computer kiosks for scholarship searches. The Cherokee Nation has a long history of political and educational pursuit, beginning in the early 19th century when one of its scholars, Sequoyah, invented a syllabary, a Cherokee alphabet. Within months, the record says, many Cherokee were able to read and write in their own unique language. Over a decade later, however, the new Atchota Treaty was ratified by the U.S. Senate in 1838. It's a document considered fraudulent by Cherokee. It led to their forcible removal from their eastern indigenous territory, which covers Georgia, Tennessee, and the Carolinas, along the infamous Trail of Tears into Oklahoma Territory. As many as 6,000 Cherokee may have perished.
The Cherokees have had two great historic passions. One is self-governance, and the other is education. You know, even in the infamous Treaty of 1838, we negotiated provisions to fund education. Our first buildings after the removal were the male and female seminaries. And so we're trying to recapture that sense of urgency and giving our kids the best opportunity possible with a good education.
Today, 300,000 Cherokee are formally enrolled as members of the tribe, with 115,000 living within a 7,000 square mile area of the Cherokee Nation's jurisdictional service area. That includes all of 8 counties and portions of 6 in northeastern Oklahoma. And Cherokee are increasingly enrolling at the University of Arkansas at Fayetteville, with a total minority enrollment of 3,300 students, 15.5% of the student body. American Indians represent 1.6% of the student population. That's a total of 337 students. 86 are Cherokee, attending here on scholarships, Chief Smith said. According to the nation's annual report since 2005, the Cherokee Nation has increased its budget for education services by more than 73%. Reflecting its commitment to educating Cherokee students. Scholarships have also doubled. Still, the troubled U.S. economy has challenged tribal economies across the U.S.
Right now, we have had a budget cut this year of about 6%, but generally we're satisfied because we're able to make sure everybody keeps his job and the core services and products we have continue. There's some things we would love to do that we'll just have to defer, but it's just sound management and not to spend more than you think you're going to get in. But our health care has thrived. We're focusing on education and leadership. So we think things are progressing, but we have to think in terms of decades rather than quarters. So generally, I think we're on the right path and we're making some progress.
The Cherokee Nation's assets, derived from gaming and industry, exceeded its liabilities at the end of fiscal year 2009 by $207 million. That's net assets. And revenues in 2009 exceeded expenses for the Cherokee tribe by $18 million. There was also growth the previous year. On its tribal crest, you'll see a seven-pointed gold star.
Well, each point of the star stands for each of the clans. So there's seven clans, seven-pointed stars. And it's covered by a wreath of oak leaves, which is a symbol of peace and prosperity. And so our seal has been with us for a couple of centuries. And it just reminds us of the continuing evolution of the future and remembrance and honoring the past.
The citizens of the Cherokee Nation elected Chadwick Corntassel Smith as principal chief in 1999. He's now in his third term. He holds a bachelor's degree in education, two masters in public administration and hospitality management, and a Juris Doctorate from the University of Tulsa. He's taught Indian law at Dartmouth College, has written college curriculum in tribal operations, authored a 600-page course book on Cherokee legal history, and worked as a county prosecutor and operated his own law practice for a while. Chief Chad Smith's ancestors were forcibly removed from the Treaty of Achota, but survived the Trail of Tears. His great-grandfather then faced another battle in the late 19th century when the U.S. government broke up collective tribal land holdings in Oklahoma Territory, creating individual allotments in order to sell the so-called surplus to white settlers. To this day, the Cherokee Nation are still without their own reservation. Reporting for Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
If you'd like to learn more about the Cherokee language and people, you can log on to the Cherokee Nation's website at cherokee.org. This is Ozarks at Large.
A note about the musical interludes in this edition of Ozarks at Large. All of them come from a new CD produced in conjunction with tonight's Artemis 13 Gallery exhibit at the Dixon Street Theater. The CD features 13 tracks from local and regional musicians. We just heard the opening of the song Robert Johnson by the band Tyrannosaurus Chicken, a duo from Barling. The CD will be available tonight during the Artemis 13 event that lasts until 11. You can learn more about Artemis, a local artist collective, at their Facebook page or at artemis.org.
This is Ozarks at Large. Midday tomorrow, the Friends of Washington Regional Hospice will stage the 24th annual Friends of Hospice Fall Brunch at the home of Elise and Ray Mitchell on Rivercrest Road in Fayetteville. The drop-in affair from 11:30 until 1 will help raise money for the under-construction Willard Walker Hospice Home. The facility is expected to open next year and will have more than 24,000 square feet dedicated to hospice services. Tomorrow's brunch will include food, beverages, and door prizes. This week, Patty Kimbrough, a volunteer with Washington Regional Hospice, talked with PJ Hrabowski about tomorrow's brunch and about the services provided by hospice.
Probably for me and for my family, it was just how much those individuals, those hospice nurses and doctors and volunteers and chaplains took with my sisters and myself. And you just, nothing can prepare you for the loss of a loved one. You know, for us, it was 11 days that, you know, and our mother spent not more than 24 hours in hospice, but those 24 hours were the toughest you'll ever endure. And these people literally, to put it simply, they hold your hand through every step of the way, and they still, even after the fact, 13 months after the fact, offer bereavement counseling to the families, because losing a loved one is just, it can be life-changing.
And I consider hospice workers just, it's just an amazing sacrifice that they make, because it has to be rewarding for them somehow.
But it's a gift. I too think it's a gift.
Definitely.
Yes.
I totally agree, because what they do is just, they're angels.
Oh, they are. I've always often referred to them as angels on earth. And of course, we're so super excited, because this year's brunch that we're going to talk about is benefiting the Washington Regional Hospice Home. And it's an in-care facility that we just broke ground on a few weeks ago.
I heard about that.
Yes, and construction is soon to be underway and hopefully completed by summer of next year, which is incredibly quick. But, you know, just the Arkansas State Board of Health did a survey, and there are 99 beds in need right now for hospice patients. And we have a little, with the completion of this house, Northwest Arkansas will have a little over 52. So it truly shows the need of this type of facility and this type of program when we still have over, you know, almost 50 more that we need to put into construction, even after the completion of this house. So it is such a great charity.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you guys have a major goal for this Autumn Brunch. Now, it's the 24th.
Yes.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing that 24 people would actually open their homes and allow this wonderful event? When we go to look at these homes, I just think, gosh, I can't imagine.
And this is at the home of Elise and Ray Mitchell?
Yes, yes. Elise has a marketing firm here in Northwest Arkansas, and she is quite the philanthropist and very community-oriented, and they've generously offered their home, which is gorgeous. We like to refer to the brunch as a friendraiser and not so much of a fundraiser. But again, this year, it does have a little fortified, purpose behind it, with the hospice home being so close and the need to complete it in such a short amount of time based on the need in Northwest Arkansas. So again, I even encourage people, if you can attend, you know, a small donation just to go toward helping people in this area, it'd be money well spent.
Patty Kimbrough is a volunteer with Friends of Washington Regional Hospice. Tomorrow from 11:30 until 1, the organization will host the 24th annual Friends of Hospice Brunch at the home of Ray and Elise Mitchell. That's on Rivercrest Road in Fayetteville. This year's brunch will help raise funds for the Willard Walker Hospice Home, scheduled to open next year. For more information about the event, tickets, or directions to the Mitchell Home, you can call the Washington Regional Foundation at 444-9888. That's 444-9888. You can also find that number online at ozarksatlarge.com. And again, all of our musical interludes on this edition of Ozarks at Large from the brand new CD Artemis 13, featuring local and regional musicians. The CD is available at the Artemis exhibition tonight, lasting until 11 at Dixon Street Theater. We just heard the song No Names from Tim Yarborough. This is Ozarks at Large. The election may be over, but things have far from slowed down in the state capitol. With 44 out of 100 Arkansas House members, the Republican Party is making plans to tackle ethics reform in the next legislative session. When lawmakers gather in January, Republican House Leader John Burris of Harrison says he'll propose a package of ethics proposals, including a bill to limit legislative travel that failed 2 years ago.
We're going to run that again. It needs to be the rule. Legislators need to travel in the most cost-efficient way. Support a cooling off period for legislators coming out, trying to lobby. I think that's a good thing. Finally, solving double dipping. I think that's a good thing. There's still some loopholes there. So those are a few of the specifics. Overall, I think if we can increase disclosure, it's certainly a good place to start also. More disclosure is never a bad thing.
Another idea being tossed around is the so-called Walmart rule. The Bentonville-based retailer won't allow its employees to accept any gifts from suppliers, even a cup of coffee. Representative Burris says he's not sure what form his ethics proposal might take, but says he can't support the Walmart rule for lobbyists and state lawmakers.
Taking a personal lunch is kind of a way to get their attention when they've got full-time obligations at home, other jobs, things like that. I think you're going to take that away. You have to make some other changes with the system as a whole yet, too. So I'm not there yet on a Walmart rule. I think it needs to be part of the discussion, but it's certainly not a fix.
Other ideas being discussed include an end to double dipping by public employees and new restrictions to end the revolving door of lawmakers leaving office to become highly paid lobbyists.
State health officials are reporting that nearly 80,000 Arkansans received a flu shot during the state's mass flu clinics. That's a small fraction of the number who got the dose during last fall's swine flu emergency. 97 locations throughout the state hosted the clinics for the last 2 weeks. Spokesman Ed Barham says the flu season hasn't yet truly begun.
We don't have flu in the state yet. Usually we see that happen after the Thanksgiving holidays because people travel and, you know, the flu shows up on airplanes and planes, trains, and automobiles. So after the first of the year, a lot more people getting sick, and that's typically our peak.
Barham says this year's dose included protection for the swine flu that alarmed so many last year.
This year, in just about 2 weeks' time, we have vaccinated 80,000 people at 97 locations around the state, and that's a lot of folks, but we hope we never have to vaccinate as many people as we did last year in such a short period of time.
Barham says although the mass clinics have ended, Arkansans can still receive the vaccination at local health units and area pharmacies.
And a warning this week that Arkansas could face a Medicaid crisis in the coming years if nothing is done. John Selig, the director of the State Department of Human Services, says because Arkansas has had federal stimulus money for the last few years, the state has not had to add any general revenue to the program. But that stimulus money is coming to an end.
It is currently about a $4 billion program a year in Arkansas, and we serve about 700 and close to 800,000 people now receive Medicaid. And that if that program grows at, you know, 5 to 7 or 8% a year, it will take, in 2013, we think about $260 million, and then we'll need to keep adding money each year just because the cost of health care around the country is going up, and we only have so much ability to control that in Arkansas.
Governor Mike Beebe is expected to recommend an additional $175 million in state Medicaid funding for the 2012-2013 fiscal year. Selig says that while that's less than the anticipated shortfall, he calls it a good starting point to address a complex problem. This is Ozarks at Large.
On this date in 1938, Kate Smith first sang Irving Berlin's God Bless America on network radio. Smith was born May 1, 1909 in Greenville, Virginia. The American singer was long known as the First Lady of Radio. Smith studied nursing before moving to New York City, where she won a Broadway role as an overweight girl who was the butt of jokes. In 1931, she began her immensely popular radio show, Kate Smith Sings, which ran for 16 years. Her theme song, When the Moon Comes Over the Mountain, became familiar to millions. In 1938, she created the news and gossip program Kate Smith Speaks and introduced Berlin's song God Bless America. She hosted several television shows in the 1950s, and in 1982, she was awarded the U.S. Medal of Freedom. Berlin and his family immigrated to New York City in 1893. He worked as a street singer and singing waiter, then began writing songs. His first published song, Marie from Sunny Italy, appeared in 1907. In 1911, he wrote Alexander's Ragtime Band. It's believed he may have written more than 1,500 songs. In addition to God Bless America, he scored many successful films, including Holiday Inn in 1942, which introduced the song White Christmas, one of the best-selling songs of all time. Altogether, Berlin wrote the scores for 19 Broadway shows, including Annie Get Your Gun, and 18 films. On this date in 1871, journalist explorer Henry M. Stanley found David Livingstone in Central Africa and delivered his famous greeting, Dr. Livingstone, I presume? Livingstone, a medical missionary originally from Scotland, had not been heard from in many years, and Stanley had been sent to find him. When asked why he said it, he replied, I couldn't think of what else to say. Stanley, world-renowned explorer of the Belgian Congo, specifically the Congo River, lived in Arkansas for a few months in 1860 to 1861, working as a clerk in a country store at Cypress Bend on the Arkansas River near Pine Bluff. On this date in 1969, Sesame Street debuted on PBS. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
to get to Sesame Street.
It's the 10th day of November, Wednesday. I'm Kyle Kellums. With me is Becca Bacon-Martin, the editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers.
And time for me to whine about why Kyle says things like it's November 10th. Okay, good news and bad news.
Give me the good first.
No.
Okay, give
no,
me the...
I'm going to give you the bad first.
Okay, all right.
Merle Haggard is performing tonight at the Walton Arts Center.
That's the bad news?
He's sold out.
That's the bad
That's
news.
That's the bad news. Sold out, sold out, sold out, really sold out. If you want to find out if there's any opportunity for seats, call 443-5600. Now, here's the good news. Elton John is performing at two venues in this area in the next few days. And he's performing with Leon Russell.
Elton John, on his first tour of the U.S., opened for Leon Russell.
Mm-hmm.
So they're back together again after 30-plus years.
He's in concert Friday at the BOK Center in Tulsa.
Mm-hmm. Which should be wild because, you know, Leon's huge in Tulsa.
He's a Tulsa native, isn't
he?
Mm-hmm. And they will be on stage again Saturday in Fort Worth. And ticket prices are available at eltonjohn.com. In other good news, Friday, the Levon Helm Band is at the Verizon Theater at Grand Prairie, Texas.
Where is Grand Prairie?
Outside of Dallas.
Oh, okay.
So if you need a little road trip.
Is Grand Prairie one of those towns that I don't realize I'm out of Dallas, but I'm actually out
yes.
of Dallas, like Richardson or
yes.
Arlington or
And
Plano.
They've got a big performance venue.
Okay.
So you can find out more at 972-854-5111. Wicked is at the Robinson Center Music Hall in Little Rock through November 14th. 800-745-3000. And starting November 17th, Wicked is at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. 918-596-7122.
Art Amiss, 13, tonight at Dixon Street
That's
Theater.
That's right. That's
so,
right.
So all sorts of local artists, musicians, fashion designers, writers will be there as well. Dixon
and
Street
if you
Theater.
Didn't spend all your money last week at ACO's 5x5, there's more art coming.
Becca Bacon-Martin is the editor of What's Up, found in Northwest Arkansas newspapers.
The all-female vocal group Harmonia will be having a CD release party at 7 o'clock tonight at the Whole Earth Organic Lounge in Fayetteville. Harmonia's director, Leslie Olsner, organized the group in 1996.
As a music lover, I already had a fulfilling musical partnership singing harmony with my husband doing folk music, but I really loved singing with other women and harmonizing, and I decided to start a group to do that. And also to focus on more spiritually oriented songs and multicultural songs. So I wasn't even thinking about performing. I just put up a flyer and just, you know, see who came and ended up with a wonderful group of women.
The number of vocalists has varied due to people moving away from the area, but the group is usually comprised of a little over a dozen women. Vocalist Julie Minkle says the core group has more or less remained intact over the years. Mingle joined Harmonia about 12 years ago.
I knew Leslie, but from a different context, not from singing. And a real dear friend of mine was singing with Harmonia, and I came to hear her one night at Mike Shirky's house. And I was so impressed with Harmonia. I felt like people were singing with their eyes closed, and I felt like there was no ego there. It was just beauty. And I'd been having trouble sleeping at that time, and that night I went home and slept just the full night, and I was just so feeling so peaceful. So I already felt the healing qualities of Harmonia, and from there I auditioned and joined. So it's been wonderful for me.
Both women have musical backgrounds and can play a variety of instruments, including piano, guitar, and clarinet. Olsner says that over the years she has had some mild auditions for the group. She explains that when people began asking Harmonia to perform publicly, she decided that she should have some type of audition to ensure that potential members had some musical skills. With so many members of the group, the director says the main difficulty they run into is not singing together, but rather focusing during their weekly rehearsal.
Sometimes the difficulty is just because we do enjoy each other's company. It's hard to, for me, it can be hard to get everybody to focus and settle down and practice and sing, but that's okay. It's a good problem to have.
During tonight's event, Harmonia will be celebrating the release of Deep Peace, Songs of Healing and Meditation.
The theme really is healing music that will bring additional peace and relaxation and even kind of a meditative feeling. We figure everybody can use some of that in today's world. And we've gotten feedback from our other CDs that even though there are some lively songs on those CDs, that they find the CDs are really soothing and healing. And we've been told wonderful stories about people playing them and having their children calm down, their babies stop crying, their pets get soothed, and
their
then, of
cows.
Course, right? And then adults themselves loving them, too. So we decided to focus in that way for this CD.
One of the songs included on the 13-track album is called Deep Peace.
That song is a Gaelic prayer that was set to music by the composer Bill Douglas. And it's really beautiful words that evoke the qualities of nature.
Also included on the CD is the Beatles tune, Because.
Well, that's the good old Lennon-McCartney song, Because, that so many people know, and we just loved getting to sing it with our same harmonies that the Beatles used, but sounds similar but very different, of course, with women's voices.
Mingle explains that Harmonious Music has reached far beyond the Fayetteville city limits and has been enjoyed by people from all walks of life. In addition to public performances, Harmonia will sometimes sing for those who are ill.
From time to time, people who are going through a difficult time or struggling with serious health issues, either in the group or who are close friends of the group, will come to one of our rehearsals, and we'll put them in the center of the circle and we'll just sing to them several songs. And everyone has found that so healing and felt very peaceful afterwards. So it was kind of our dream to have the CD create that internationally for anyone who may benefit from it. Several of our members travel throughout the world and always bring a CD to share. So I think we have them in Thailand and Ireland and Scotland and Senegal. I know we had left one there. So it's exciting to feel like our message is reaching a lot of people.
Minkle says Harmonia is made up of a unique group of women. After being a part of what she calls a sisterhood for more than a decade, it's her desire to continue singing with the group for years to come.
It's just a really wonderful gift to have for ourselves, to meet every week with this community of women and to know that hopefully we'll be singing together when we're 90. So that's my dream.
Tonight's CD release party begins at 7. Harmonia will begin singing around 7:30 and will continue performing for about an hour. CDs will be available at the event and at Ozark Natural Foods. More information about the group is available by emailing harmonia.fayetteville@gmail.com.
This is Ozarks at Large. The sound of human bird migration is apparent if you know what to listen for. Our birdman, Joe Neal, serves as a guide.
Sparrows in the bushes sound like fall to me. Those are white-throated sparrows you just heard. The singing is a little scratchy, and we can hear several birds rustling in the honeysuckle. Since they nest in Canada, they've come a long ways to reach western Arkansas. They will be migrating through the Ozarks all fall, but others will stay through winter. In urban places like my brushy yard in Fayetteville, white throats warm the spirit, a welcome addition to oncoming cold weather. Other birds migrating through during the fall will keep going. That's the case with rose-breasted grosbeaks. They nest all across the states to our north and into Canada. If they were at your feeder in spring, you couldn't have missed the males, striking black and white with a distinctive rosy breast. The streaky brownish females exhibit a more subtle beauty. Grosbeaks will keep on going, reaching Mexico and even further south. Here's a recording this fall of a bird high in the trees as it was migrating through Devil's Den State Park. Listen for keek, keek! Some flickers nest in Arkansas, including my yard in Fayetteville, but others migrate through during fall, headed south. Just in case you don't know flickers, here are a few identification hints. When they fly, the undersides of their wings are golden. Their brownish back is marked by a bunch of dark bars like a pine cone. The light breast is covered by spots. And the male sports a black mustache. And since they love ants, you often see them un-woodpecker-like on the ground. Here's a flicker this fall calling from a treetop at Devil's Den State Park. If you're heading out into the woods this fall, you're going to hear all kinds of woodpeckers in addition to flickers. I feel I can hear a lot better in the clear, sunny light during fall. Some of the tapping and pounding I hear are woodpeckers excavating in search of ants and beetle larvae. In the case of our pileated woodpecker, the loud drumming marks territorial boundaries. In any case, the drumming and calling of woodpeckers adds a festive note in our transition from summer to winter. And finally, a long day in the fall woods just evokes being alive. Days and days of crouching inside under the AC are finally over. We're out with towhees, woodpeckers, grosbeaks, fall leaves, and running springs. We are not in traffic. Our cell phones are turned off. Fall is great. Bring on winter. I've got my boots and my binoculars, and I'm ready.
Joe Neal's latest book is Birdside Baptists and Other Ornithological Mysteries. He's also co-author, with Douglas James, of Arkansas Birds, published by the University of Arkansas Press.
That's another selection from the CD Artemis 13, the song Autumn Opaque by the Fayetteville-based band The Skinny Jazz Quartet. You can find out more about the band at their MySpace page. The CD Artemis 13 will be available at the Artemis 13 event at Dixon Street Theater in Fayetteville that lasts until 11 tonight. The Fort Smith Little Theater presents 20th Century, a play set in the flamboyance of the 1930s aboard a streamliner train where a Broadway producer tries to win back an actress he discovered who left his shadow and is now at her peak. Does he succeed? The play takes place November 11th through the 13th and the 17th through the 20th at 8 p.m. with a gala opening November 11th. For tickets and more information, 479-783 2966.
And the Ozark Literacy Council presents the 2010 Open Book Affair tomorrow night from 6 until 9:30 at the Fayetteville Town Center. It will feature dinner by area restaurants and hundreds of autographed books and other items in silent and live auctions. If you want more information about tomorrow night's event, 521-8250.
This Thursday, November 11th, all national parks will waive fees in honor of Veterans Day, and the Fort Smith National Historic Site will offer free exhibits about the military, Trail of Tears, and Judge Parker's courthouse and jail. Fort Smith National Historic Site is located in downtown Fort Smith. For more information on the park, 479-783-3961.
That's just about all the time we have for this edition of a Wednesday Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. A service of the Department of Journalism and Fulbright College of Arts and Sciences at the University of Arkansas, this is KUAF Public Radio, 91.3 FM, Fayetteville, Rogers, Fort Smith, Georgetown.
And we'll end this edition of Ozarks at Large with another song from the brand new CD from Harmonia, the Fayetteville-based women's chorus. The name of the CD, Deep Peace, Songs of Healing and Meditation. We'll hear the song, What Would You Do?, written by the late Nick Masullo. Ozarks at Large is a production of KUAF. Thanks for listening.
If you got to pick which dreams would come true, how would you live if you made the choices round here? What if you knew it was true?